Don't tell you put take it back.
Sanjay Radha Madha.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Today, text number 7. Nadadhyad amisham shraddhe nachadhyad dharma tattvavit munyanyai syat para priti yatanam pashuhimshaya nadadhyad amisham shraddhe na chadhyad dharma tattvavi munhyanai syat para priti yatana pashuhimshaya nadadhyad amisham shraddhe na chadhyad dharma tattvavi munhyanai syat para priti yatana pashuhimshaya. Munyanyasyaparapriti Yadhana Parushuhim Shaya Jade. Dadhyat should offer amisham, meat, fish, eggs, and so on. Shraddhe, in the performance of the Shraddha ceremony. Na, nar, cha, also. Adhyat, one should eat personally. Dharma tattva ved, one who is actually learned in regard to religious activities. Muni Anhai, by preparations made with ghee for saintly persons. Syat, should be. Para, first class. Preetihi, satisfaction. Yatha, for the forefathers and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not. Pashu himshaya, by killing animals unnecessarily. Translation. A person fully aware of religious principle should never offer anything like meat, eggs or fish in the Shraddha ceremony. And even if one is a Kshatriya, he himself should not eat such things. When suitable food prepared with ghee is offered to saintly persons, the function is pleasing to the forefathers and the Supreme Lord, who are never pleased when animals are killed in the name of sacrifice. There is no purport. We'll read text 8 and 9 as well. Text 8. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words or mind. There is no religion superior to this. Text 9. Because of an awakening of spiritual knowledge, those who are intelligent in regard to sacrifice, who are actually aware of religious principles and who are free from material desires, control the self in the fire of spiritual knowledge or knowledge of the absolute truth. They may give up the process of ritualistic ceremonies. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. People are generally very much interested in karmakanda ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems. But when one awakens his spiritual knowledge, he becomes uninterested in such elevation and engages himself fully in jnana yajna to find the objective of life. The objective of life is to stop completely the miseries of birth and death and to return home back to Godhead. When one cultivates knowledge for this purpose, he is considered to be on a higher platform than one who is engaged in karma, yajna or fruitive activities. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in this particular chapter, instructions for civilized human beings. In the text 6, it was mentioned that one should offer prasada to the demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, the people in general, one's family members, one's relatives, one's friends, seeing them all as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in today's verse it is mentioned, so what kind of foods to be offered to the forefathers, departed forefathers in Shraddha ceremony, and what kind of foods should not be offered. And in the following verse it was mentioned, persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words or mind. See, in three states, body, with the body, with the words, with the mind, one should give up all envy to other living entities. And it is mentioned, there is no religion superior to this. And in the following verse, it was mentioned, because of an awakening of spiritual knowledge, those who are intelligent in regard to sacrifice. With the spiritual knowledge, one develops intelligent in that regard to the sacrifice, who are actually aware of religious principles and who are free from material desire. Control the self in the fire of spiritual knowledge or knowledge of the absolute truth. They may give up the process of ritualistic ceremonies. So, as long as one does not come to the spiritual knowledge, one has to continue those ritualistic ceremonies. In the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, Arjuna gives four reasons not to fight in the first chapter, and in the second chapter he gives the fifth one. So what's the last reason in the first chapter he gives for not fighting? Varna Sankara. So if the family tradition is disrupted, Varna Sankara population will increase. When Varna Sankara population increases, the family traditions will diminish. And he specifically points Lupta Pindodaka Kriya. So the Shraddha ceremonies will stop because of unwanted population. That we see these days anyway. Nobody perform any Shraddha ceremony. Of course, it is a tradition in India, but when people move to other countries, other parts of the world, what to speak of other countries, even within the same country, when they move to other parts of cities, they don't perform. So I remember, in village we used to perform Shraddha ceremony for departed ancestors yearly once. We moved to Hyderabad, so where it's a bit difficult to find a priest. So pretty much Shraddha ceremony stopped. They just go to a temple, and not Vishnu temple or any demigod whom they worship, they go there and they just give some donation to the priest. So which is okay, but those who are very lazy and not much interested in this kind of ritualistic ceremonies, they completely stop. So in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada mentions both the ways. As it is pointed in this particular verse number 9 and in the previous verses, they recommend one has to do this kind of ritualistic ceremony as long as they not awaken to the spiritual knowledge. Now, in that Prabhupada, it's not Prabhupada, some other lecture I heard, there it was mentioned that these kind of ceremonies, thinking that we have become devotees, so we need not to perform these kind of ceremonies anymore, is okay one side, because one directly offering bhoga to the Supreme Lord and eating it as prasad and offering to the ancestors. And many times devotees quote supporting verse from Narada Muni's instructions, Devarshi Bhutatmanunam Prithina. So one is not indebted to the Devarshi, the saintly rishis, and one is not indebted to the forefathers, one is not indebted to so many other people because they have awakened their devotion to the Supreme Lord. Yes, that is correct. That is for one generation. But what about the generation which is following? So we see not all the generations, they become devotees. Of course, they have very conducive environment to become devotees. Say, for example, father and mother both are devotees. obviously their children have high opportunities to become devotees, but we don't see that in every family case. So if the parents stop these kind of ceremonies, and if the children did not become devotees, are not favorable to any spiritual activity, so that kind of ceremonies they stop then and there. So this was the argument given by the speaker. So I was thinking it's logical actually. So that's why we perform it, but in a detached way and understanding service to the Supreme Lord in devotion is always supersedes all other ritualistic activities. In Shraddha ceremonies, many people, especially some traditions, they take it to the heart, this kind of ceremonies. Shraddha ceremonies, it's a big thing for them. Offering oblations to the forefathers to relieve them from wherever they entangled. I remember when my mother passed away, so we offered Shraddha ceremony and just after departing, because she passed away in Vrindavan, so we don't have any other way, and I don't know local priest and all. I was going through Srila Prabhupada's instructions to conduct Shraddha ceremony, how to perform in a Vaishnava tradition. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that for on behalf of the departed soul, we distribute prasada in a temple to Vaishnavas. And he mentioned that itself is enough. And same prasada offered to the person who departed. So I performed that on the third day, but still family was not satisfied. Oh, we must do Shraddha ceremony on the 13th day. So we went back to our native place. We went to the bank of Godavari. Priest came and he saw the time when my mother was passed away. And he was mentioned this very inauspicious time, your mother passed away. I was thinking, She passed away in Vrindavan. What is more auspicious than that? There is no time play, no time influence is there on Vrindavan Dham. So I was okay. Then he recommended, oh, you had to do this kind of ceremony. You had to dip 108 times in Godavari and offer this kind of oblations, this kind of dana, this kind of pinda you have to offer. I said, okay, you know, taking bath in Godavari, what more required? It's one of the holy rivers. Every morning we chant Gangai Chaya Yamunai Chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindho Kaveri Jalasmin Sannidhim Kuru. We invoking. So I got a direct opportunity to bathe in Godavari. So I took 108 dips. It was not so fun. First 50 was okay, next 50 painful, but did just to express my gratitude to my mother. And then came out, then he offered pinda. And in pinda ceremony, generally first they offer it to the crows. So crow has to come, so they consider this crow is the departed soul that comes in that shape to accept that pinda. Unless that crow accepts that pinda, the ceremony is not finished. And it's very, very sentimental. If the crow doesn't come, they feel something wrong. And they go pray and do all kind of things. And if any unfulfilled wish are there for the departed soul, they go and offer it. So this was happening. Crow was not coming, and full pressure on me from my parents, because your mother's last wish that you should get married. You promised now. So I said, okay. We'll wait for some more time. We will change the location. And we changed a couple of locations. But back of mind, I was thinking, you know, she already departed to Vrindavan. Where she will come from? Because if they are in the within this universe, planetary system, she may come. But scriptures correctly say they will go back to spiritual world. And then I called Gopavrindesh Prabhu. I came out and called Gopavrindesh Prabhu. Prabhu, this is how they are pressurizing me. What should I do? Prabhu said, don't entangle yourself. You know that your mother departed in Vrindavan. She will go back. And this is just a ritualistic ceremony. Don't worry. That's why she is not coming. The crow is not coming. And finally, we took the whole pinda and dropped in Godavari for... That's the last case they do for creatures in the water, especially fish, they come and ate. And we dropped there. Fish nicely came and ate everything. Ceremony finished. Then the priest was telling, oh, crow didn't come. So you have to do this dana, godana, budana, suvarna dana. Godana means offering cow, budana means offering land, suvarna dana means offering gold. But nothing was there. He said, okay, you give some extra money and do. They, with mantras, they accept the dana. This is for one class of people. It's a goodness way of doing the Shraddha ceremony. Whereas, on the other hand, those who are a bit passionate and ignorant, lower class, their Shraddha ceremony is pretty much every plate they keep beer or whiskey, a quarter bottle, every plate should have. I have seen in, I'm from Andhra Pradesh, in Telangana districts, some districts, for this kind of ceremony, people come from so many places, because especially to take meat and the drink, alcohol. In Shraddha ceremonies, this is very much prominent in lower classes. But here in this verse, very clearly mentioned, a person fully aware of religious principle should never offer anything like meat, eggs or fish in the Shraddha ceremony. But people do offer. Is so famous. If they don't offer, they consider it some offense to the departed ancestor. And people wait for who is dying to take Shraddha ceremony meal. But the correct way of offering Shraddha ceremony is offering prasadam. Offering prasadam. Even in those who have little bit understanding of Sanskrit, when the priest offer prayers, when they chant mantras, when they offering Shraddha Pinda, we understand that he is nothing but doing the same thing what we do every day. What we do? We take Bhoga, offer it to the Lord for his enjoyment, and we accept it as his prasad, and offer it to the forefathers, and we take to ourselves. In the Shraddha ceremony, he does the same thing. He makes three pindas, one for the departed soul, one for the three ancestors, and one for the Vishnu. And first one he offers to Vishnu, and the remaining one he offers to the forefathers and the immediate departed person. The same thing he is doing, Vishnu Prasad. And he distributes to everyone else. Remaining prasad. That's the same thing, but people cannot understand. So what is actually meant? But they are very much attached to the ritualistic ceremony. So like children, they are very much attached to doing something, you know, activity. So similarly, people are very much attached to that activity by not understanding what is it actually meant for. And what is it actually doing? So that's why Srila Prabhupada, in the next verse it is mentioned, but one who awakened his spiritual knowledge. So awakening of spiritual knowledge means understanding our relationship with the Lord and what is the process and what is the ultimate goal. And for them, this kind of ritualistic ceremonies are not necessary as given in this verse. They may be given up the process of ritualistic ceremonies. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned why these people perform these kind of ritualistic ceremonies: to elevate themselves to the heavenly planets for further enjoyment. But devotees, we know, even going to the heavenly planets, again one has to come back to the material world in the middle planetary systems and perfect and go back. Why to waste the time? So that's why we don't entertain these kind of ceremonies in Vaishnava tradition. Rather, offer prasada to all the devotees. So that's more important than this kind of ceremonies if one is not still at to the platform. And why prasada to be offered? In Bhagavad Gita again Krishna mentioned in the third chapter, Karma Yoga section, where he says in the 13th verse of third chapter, those who eat without first offering it to the Lord, they are merely eating the sin only. So that is another benefit. You know, when we go back to India after becoming devotees, or when we become devotees and you go to some relative's house, you say, we eat only prasadam. It's a wonder for them. I remember when I went to India after becoming devotee here, so my parents know only that I am going to temple regularly and chanting Hare Krishna, and food habits, they know I stopped eating meat. It's okay, but they don't know that we eat only prasadam. And the entry which I gave to my parents, because I came in 2012, I went in 2015, so almost 2 years gap I went. They were expecting that my son will come like with a suit and everything, but the entry I gave is in dhoti kurta. There was a full shock that to 3 o'clock in the morning, they were half asleep. They saw me in dhoti kurta and a small bag. And I said, are you the same person? And the shaven head and shikha. I was coming from Mayapur, then went to home. It was a shock. And next day, they cooked some breakfast for me. I said, I'm not eating. Because you didn't offer. And no onion, no garlic. And after they adjusted some, how they sent my mother to, you know, further dealing. So I explained they were okay. But this news spread to other relatives. So I had to visit other relatives' house. And my mother and sister told other relatives, he will eat only prasadam. So he don't eat any onion, garlic. That's okay. So I visited. And my niece came. Niece came and asked, Mama, no, prasadam means in temple they give only little bit. And we cannot gather so much prasadam for you in from the temples. What you will eat? Only they give, in traditional temples, they give only lemon rice or the yogurt rice. That kind of prasad they give, or otherwise they give some chipped rice and coconut pieces. So they give only this kind of prasadam. Is that okay for you? I said, no, prasadam means not just that, whatever you eat, first offer it to the Lord and accept it. So that is prasad. Oh, that's how you eat. So I was thinking, every time you send photos and you're telling you eat only prasad. Now, for outside people, when we say we eat only prasad, they think, oh, we eat only little bit every day. But when we send photos, they wonder. Especially, you know, our 6:40, what we eat, or in the breakfast, what we eat, they cannot assimilate these kind of items. We can offer it to the Lord. So then I explained to them, you know, this is how you have to, and explain
the logic behind why we have to offer it to the Lord. But since they are very much attached, they don't have the conception of accepting the superiority of the Lord, they don't follow it regularly. They know it is good, eating prasada, everybody accepts when they go to Tirupati temple or when they go to any dham, when we bring some prasada, very respectfully they accept it. But when we ask them, do it on a regular basis, it purifies you. Because they don't have the knowledge, they don't accept it. So first thing, we have to give some knowledge to them. Bring them to the platform of at least sambandha, and then slowly encourage them to follow the process. And prasada is necessary in all ceremonies. In Bhagavad Gita, again in 7th chapter, when Krishna was describing about the three modes of material nature, the sacrifices in three modes of material nature, sacrifice in goodness, at the end of ceremony it's for the pleasure of the Lord, and at the end of the ceremony there is the distribution of prasadam. Whereas in the sacrifices in passion, there is the distribution of food, but they are meant for their own pleasure. And whereas in the sacrifices in the ignorance, there is no distribution of prasada. So distribution of prasada is compulsory after all the ceremonies. So when we want to do those ceremonies in mode of goodness. And the distribution of food is one of the six loving exchanges as mentioned in Nectar of Instructions. Dadati pratigruhnati guhyam akhyati pruchyati bhungthe bodhayate chaiva. So these are the six: dadati, giving gifts, accepting gifts in charity, revealing one's mind and inquiring in submission, offering prasada and accepting prasada. These are the loving exchanges. And we see this in any, irrespective of the places, not just in India, but any part of the world you go for the ceremonies, any functions, they distribute some food. Of course, here they have to pay their own food in some functions, but traditionally that was not the case. But what to speak of distributing prasad? So that not just fills their belly, but that elevates them. Please come. And offering bhoga is not just a ritual, it's an acknowledgement. In Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, Krishna writes, Annad bhavanti bhutani pradhyannad anna sambhava. So every living entity has to sustain on the food grains. So everybody has to eat. And why not to eat prasadam? And the food, it has a magic effect on consciousness. So I attracted for the prasadam. First time when I came to temple, darshan was closed, but I ate Saturday Rajbhog prasad cooked by names don't come. Who cooks? Not Karunanidhi Prabhu, it was Rajbhog. Jai Radhe Mataji's husband. Brajavasi Prabhu. Cooked by Brajavasi Prabhu. So that hooked me and started coming. Prasadam was so good, never ate this kind of food. So started coming. And pretty much many people, this is the scenario. Very rarely we see, you know, people inclined to philosophy. But first we are inclined for prasadam taste. Then that purifies. That's why in the Padma Purana also he says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jihvada Swayam Yeva Spurthayada. So for a blunt senses to understand Krishna's name, pastimes and his the qualities is very difficult. We don't have that taste. But only way, Sevon Mukehi Jihvada Swayam Yeva Spurthayada. By rendering transcendental service and using our tongue to taste only Krishna Prasad and chanting the holy names. That gives realization of Krishna's name, form, qualities and others. So that's why in every preaching program, prasadam is the main attraction. So philosophy you may give very strong that this, but at the end you give hot halwa and nice puris or something, everything is balanced. So that's why prasadam should be very, very much central focus. And in our ISKCON, there is no scarcity, especially in our temple. There is no scarcity. For the need we have enough. Of course for greed we cannot provide. But for the need, it's more than sufficient. If a person comes and if you want to sustain just on temple prasadam, they can sustain. I sustained when I was a student. Two meals, you can sufficiently sustain. And the amount of prasadam we distribute, the varieties, is no comparison in any other temples across the world. And same thing, we should continue. So even I was hearing recently my Guru Maharaj giving initiations in December. So in that initiation lecture he was mentioning for Brahman initiates. So he was telling, oh, now you're becoming Brahmana, so you have to cook for the Lord. So that's one of the service. Everyone goes to do arati, but very rarely people go to cook for the Lord in the kitchen. So that's one service always available. But it doesn't end there. If you cannot able to cook at the temple, you cook at home and distribute to others. That is also, as you distribute spiritual knowledge and simultaneously distribute prasad for those who are in need. It's actually everybody is in need of prasadam. So everybody is a poor person in spiritually. So prasadam is compulsory for everyone, and especially these kind of Shraddha ceremonies. I'll stop here if you have any questions or comments. Hare Krishna Mataji. Oh my God, so technical question. So, the fruits and veggies which we offer, the jiva not yet taken place in that. So only in that maturity, say for example fruit, when it is fully ripened, the seeds, do you eat seeds? No. So jiva is not there in what you eat. But since we offered, say for example you offered milk to the Lord, that may be coming from our Ahimsa milk, or it may be coming from the coals, Himsa milk, but whatever you are offering, the where we are getting, so we get benefit by offering, but the source also gets benefit because it is supplying to the pleasure of the Lord. So that we see in the 10th canto. So all the trees, they were offering obeisances to Lord Balaram. And there Krishna glorifying, look at these trees, how charitable, how glorious, they are offering obeisances. And they are full of fruits and flowers, and they, when they are with so many fruits, they bend, and there Krishna was glorifying them. See, they want to serve you. So they are in that way indirectly serving Krishna by giving their body. When you offer spinach, their body, whole body they are offering. When you offer fruit, they are giving their production. Flowers, they are giving their beauty. But we offer what recommended by Krishna, but not what we want. People may take it, oh, you say you offer fruits and roots, I offer meat. So in that way, the animal also will get benefit. And I take it as prasad. No. But sacrifice is their animal sacrifice. In that way they get benefit. But for prasada, Krishna recommended patram pushvam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachyate. So you offer me only these four categories. Patram, a leaf, pushvam, flower, toyam, just water, and phalam, fruit. So whatever Krishna wants, he mentioned, I want this menu, so we give that menu. We don't change the menu. So both will get benefit. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Like Vedic people only offer the Shraddha ceremony.
Mm.
So we understand that our ancestors progress spiritually.
Yeah.
But what happens to the other part of the world? Like, no one else knows about Shraddha. Even only Hindu or the Sanatanis know the Shraddha thing.
Mm.
Apart from that, no one does anything for the ancestors. What happens to them?
I remember when I went for one funeral at Springwell. So while coming, we were discussing. So, because devotees, when they pass away, we come and do perform all these activities. But what about these people? You know, some no carers were there, they're just coming. All those people will get benefit when they hear the holy name. When they hear the holy name. Otherwise, they have to wander in, if they lived in a demoniac kind of life, after passing away, they glide down, as mentioned in the Divine and Demoniac Natures chapter. Otherwise, if they are not getting a suitable body, they have to wander in a ghostly body. But ultimately, when they come in contact with some devotional service, some element of devotional service, when they hear, when they see the devotee, when they get the dust of the devotees, they get some benefit. So that's why chanting the holy names is very, very important, loud chanting. So all these people will get benefit. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Hari Purusha Ramaham Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusha Sundarangam Kanda